Welcome back, everyone, to another incredible episode of Chat with Dan. Now, before we start, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to check this out. Don't forget to leave a like, subscribe, follow. It helps a lot. And again, thank you. Have an incredible day or evening, depending where you are. And I'll see you in the next one. Stay safe. So welcome back, everyone, to another incredible episode of Chat with Dan. For today, we have on the show the incredible, the amazing, the super awesome Hazel. Hazel, how are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here. I mean, what better way to have an epic day than to be chatting with someone as epic as you? You know what I mean?
Thanks.
Absolutely. Now, for those who don't know, who is the incredible, amazing, awesome, super badass Hazel, please tell us who you are.
My name's Hazel. I'm an actor from Canada. I'm Filipino, and I've been doing acting for quite some time. I began when I was 15 to start doing auditions and stuff. I really enjoy it. It's such a great thing. I love film, but I also do theater. And I'm also a writer, creator, and producer on the new sitcom, Marie and the Menos.
So you're basically doing everything.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Now, let's go back in time here and tell me where it all started. Like, where does this passion start?
Right. So I think that this passion kind of started with the things that I saw on TV, because I did not grow up in a creative household, I would say. Like, my mother is a healthcare aide and my dad worked in the military. So I didn't have a large arts influence from my parents, as most artists do. So I kind of came about it because I really enjoyed watching TV. And one of my favorite TV shows was Glee at the time.
Okay.
And so I think that kind of gave me the inspiration to do all the musical theater, because that's how I started off in acting. So then I just started doing all like my musical theater shows in middle school and high school. My sister and I used to make like little skits that we would say, oh yeah, we're gonna post it to YouTube, we're gonna be like YouTube stars, and then we just never did. But yeah, we'd make like little music videos of us dancing and singing. And my best friend was also my neighbor, so we called her like our agent. So she would help us make all these like stupid videos of us pretending to be actors or singers. And it was so much fun. And so it started off as like a fun thing to do as kids, because it's just something that me and my friends all enjoyed and could partake in. And then eventually it began to become kind of an outlet for me to explore myself, to express myself. I found it to be like just acting spaces in general and musical places in general became a safe space for me to fully be me and have fun. And I just found that the people in that space tended to be my kind of people. And so that just really kind of made me addicted to it, because I'm like, oh, everyone in this is amazing and it makes me feel amazing. So I just kept on doing it. And when it came time to graduate high school, I was like, I don't really know what I want to do, because school wasn't really my thing. Like, I wasn't very good at math or sciences or anything other than like my music classes or my acting classes. So I decided to audition for the Faculty of Music at the University of Manitoba. And so I decided that I'm going to study classical voice, like opera and art song and all that kind of stuff. So I decided to study that. And originally, I was still not quite set on performing yet. Mm-hmm. Like, I had done a few gigs here and there, but I thought I was going to be a teacher. I was like, I'm going to be a music teacher because this is what I love. And then as my degree kind of went on, I just got more gigs, more acting gigs, more like performing gigs. And then I kind of thought to myself, you know, I think I really like this. So I just kept on going and kept on auditioning and getting more roles. And that's where I am today.
Wow. And to me, like, what were some of the challenges that you had when you were, you know, I mean, once you discovered that you wanted that as a career, as you were making those first steps, what were some of those challenges?
Right. I think a challenge was definitely not coming from a musical household or an artistic household, especially coming from like being a child of an immigrant as well.
Yeah.
You just, you have different struggles and different priorities. So it was, you know, pursuing the arts wasn't practical. It wasn't, you know, what my mother maybe had imagined for me, you know, because she wanted me to have a better life than she did. And she wants me to have all these great opportunities that Canada has and all that kind of stuff. So I guess having that in the back of your mind of wanting to make your parents proud and do what they had imagined for you, and knowing, what they sacrificed so that you can have those chances, and
Absolutely.
having that pressure behind you is quite difficult when you're navigating, but what do I want and how am I going to get there? And so because I didn't come from that artistic, supportive, like, household, not that they weren't supportive, but it's just they didn't understand the arts world or performing arts, as many other families do sometimes. So one of the really difficult things was I had to learn how to audition with girls who have been auditioning since they were 5, and I just started when I was 15. So I had a lot of, like, catch up to do, which also meant that, all the classes I had to take, I just was at a disadvantage because I didn't start when I was 5 years old, and I wasn't on Disney Channel. I just started a little bit older than everybody else. So, and all of my classes that I took, all of my voice lessons and everything, I paid for completely by myself. So I think in my senior year of high school, I was working 3 jobs while doing all my extracurriculars and maintaining honors roll, just to, because I was very determined of what I wanted and how to get it. So it's difficult in the way, I guess the biggest challenge was just having to figure it out on my own with no guidance necessarily, because me and my sister were kind of like the first people in my family to pursue this kind of career. So it was a lot of, going in blind and just figuring it out as you go. And it took a lot of braveness, which can be very difficult at a young age.
Yeah, absolutely. But like the fact that you have made it happen so far, it's incredible.
Thanks.
That's really cool. That's really cool. And tell me, focusing a little bit on your acting career, tell me like how you yeah, like what is your initial approach when you're about to start this whole character creation process?
Right. So when I go about a character, I really like to think about the story first and just understanding, like, what are the facts of this character. So when I read through the script, I just make sure I don't even think about how do I say this line or like what I say this line like this. I just think about, okay, what is on the page? What is the story and what does it mean, and how, like, where does this start and where does it end, and what do we do to get there? And so I think first I really focus on understanding the story, understanding the environment that that character lives in, and how that can influence their decisions. Also understanding, like, the relations of one character to another, like who is in the scene, how does that affect how this character acts, and how does what happened before to this character affect how they act now. And something I really like to do is I have, like, this checklist of things that I fill out for each character, and it has, like, what is their favorite color, what is their favorite thing to do, where do they come from, what are their goals in life. And I found that to be really helpful, just to kind of have some sort of backstory, because especially with film, they just give you like 2 pieces of paper with no information whatsoever on the character, and you really kind of have to make it up a little bit. And that's where I really hone into my creativeness, and just like, okay, well, I'm just gonna make up a character and just roll with it. And so there's a lot of creativity and fun. You have to be really open to seeing wherever this character will take you. And I think if you just stay true and honest to the story, then the character will come out no matter what.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can understand that. And during during your acting career, has it ever happened to you that there was this character that was it, yeah, perhaps like a like complicated or was it tough to create?
I think a lot of the characters that I've played so far, I've got quite lucky, because they tend to be characters that I really enjoy playing, and that, like, I've played different variations of these characters in different capacities. But there's been a few auditions recently where it's been kind of that situation where this character is so complex and it just takes, like, a lot of work to to try to understand them. But I did a show recently this summer called Next to Normal. And it's a show about family dynamics, and its main character is a mother who deals with a lot of mental illness, and it's around like the father and how he deals with the mother's mental illness and takes care of her, and then her daughter as well. And so I was playing the daughter and trying to understand how her environment affected her and why she was the way she was. You know, like she was really, like she was a straight A student. She was a overachiever and all of these things that I could definitely relate to, you know. But I just found myself constantly asking, like, but why does she do it like this? And why does she do it like that? And so she was just so many complexities to her. I had to really take a lot of time and coachings to like read through the script multiple times and understand, fully understand why she does things and how it affects others. And so that was really complex and difficult, but it was thrilling.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. And like during the whole, yeah, for example, on this character, how you managed to break character. I mean, you shoot the scene, they say cut, like how you managed to return to be the you. Is it like a specific thing you do, or you just like 1, 2, 3 go? Like what is your thing, let's say?
I think it's very odd. You know, like they say cut, but I don't think it's until later, like after I go home, that I think I'm fully out of the character. But one of the things I really like to do is just, you know, try to, when I'm not on set or if I'm not doing preparation for set or doing work stuff or anything like that, I try to detach myself from it as much as possible and make sure that I have a certain amount of time in the day that's set aside for specifically not doing anything acting related. So I make sure that I have like some sort of hobby that I can do when I get home, just so that I can give my head the mental break and so that I can have the capacity to go back in and do it again the next day. Especially with that show I was just talking about, it was different because it was like a live theater. So, you know, you'd go to like an 8-hour rehearsal and then you go home and it's like you just spent 8 hours of your day like in this like melancholy, and now you have to go home as if like nothing happened. And as an actor, you just feel so much empathy. You have to, it was really difficult the first couple times to not just be in that mood when you got home. But I think just being self-aware of what I can do to make myself happy, like I keep a journal and I like, you know, go on a walk or go work out or like go hang out with friends, and just making sure that when I take time away from the show, that it's an honest time away, not like multitasking and still thinking of it.
Absolutely. I mean, it, and also it can take you sometimes to very vulnerable places, right? When you're about to play some like this emotional character, right?
Right.
Wow. Incredible. I love it. Now, moving on here. What has been some of the worst auditions you ever had?
Worst auditions?
Yeah.
Ooh, oh my gosh. I feel like there's been a few that are really funny. There's a few. I guess one of them would be I was doing an audition. I think I was 15 or something like that. And it was actually, it was my very first audition. I think this is my very first film audition. And I was so scared. I was so nervous. It was for an older character. I think the character was supposed to be like 17 and I was 15 and I was so nervous. And I totally went in blind. I had not taken any sort of film acting classes. I think maybe I took one or two, but nothing really in depth, just kind of like beginner acting classes. And I had never been to a film audition. I did a few mocks, but it was just very bizarre. And so I went in and I didn't memorize my sides because I had not known. So I went in, I had my sides, and I like literally was like holding it like this, covering my face, and I was like shaking and I was so scared. And I had to leave school early for it too. So I was just like anxious and nervous. And when I did my scene, I did it, but I just kind of read it off the paper. It wasn't really like my best scene ever. And then the casting director was like, he said, next time you really should memorize your sides. It's the standard. And I was like, okay, I'm so sorry. And then I left, and I just remember being so embarrassed because I just had no idea. I was so young, and again, like not having the guidance of parents who understand the business, who can give you that kind of
Yeah,
advice.
absolutely. And how you managed to handle the second thought after audition? I mean, you did audition, and how you silence those, that little voice who comes to your head and starts telling you, you should have done this, you should have said this, why you did this, like how you managed to, or like those toxic thoughts, put them away so you can continue your day.
Honestly, I did used to struggle with that a lot, and it wasn't until recently where I just realized that the stakes aren't that high, and the world isn't going to end, and there's always going to be other jobs and other auditions. And so instead of constantly checking my phone, like did I get it, like who got it, I
Yeah.
just made sure like I'm not going to ask anybody about their auditions because I don't want to worry about or get that in my head. I'm not going to ask like who auditioned for the same roles as me and all that kind of stuff. So now instead, I go in, I do the audition, and then I throw the sides in the recycling. I go home, and I always make sure I get myself a little treat for being brave and going to an audition that day. Usually it's just like a coffee or a donut, something like that. And then I just make sure that I don't look at the sides again, and I don't have to think about, oh, but I did it like this, I did it like that. And I think having the experience of being on the creative team for Marie and the Menos, and having that producer, writer, creator experience, and being on the other side of the table for auditions really helped me have a better understanding of, it's not personal if you don't get anything.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you're like really, really talented, and it just doesn't work. And that's something that, teachers will tell you as an actor, like sometimes it's just a look thing, or it's just a this thing, but it's a really hard concept to actually grasp until you're on the other side of the table, because, until you see it from the other point of view, it's really just words.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I just, you just kind of move on, and the world isn't gonna end, and remember that there's other jobs, and it really helps me a lot.
Yeah, I mean, at the end, it's I mean, nobody likes being rejected, right? So I can understand how tough it can be for you to kind of get used to it, for you to get used to this type of situation, which is not personal. They're just not you're not on the profile, or So I can understand that those, yeah, that it could take some, like sometimes even years for you to start to kind of see it as okay,
Definitely.
Wow, I love it. Now, let's say that one day I call you and I tell you that I want to become an actor. Now, I don't have any experience at all. So based on what you know, what do you think it's important for me to know before jumping in into this career?
Oh, I think what's really important for people who are considering acting as a career, I think it's important for them to know why they're doing it. I think a lot of people tend to go into acting because they love maybe the vanity of it, but everybody I know who's gone in for the vanity of it, they never find their happiness in it. But the people who go in because they love to tell stories, and they love to express themselves, and they love to have other people's stories heard, and when they're just so focused on the story and the characters and the importance of that, they tend to do really well, and they find their happiness, whether that be like a short film or a feature film. Because if you don't have that, then the vanity won't fuel you long enough to have a long career or to have an enjoyable career. So if you don't really enjoy the work, like sitting down for hours reading scripts and discovering the character and asking all these questions, then it can be a very difficult road. But if you do decide that that is why you want to go into it, and you love the story, then I would definitely suggest, getting into a class, making some friends. I find that making friends in the industry was super helpful and such a great support system. And it's super encouraging, and that really helps you like get past the rejection that we were talking about earlier as well, having friends who are in there with you. So yeah, go to some events, go to find your ACTRA branch in your state or province and go to their events and mingle. It's kind of like speed dating, except with actors. So you just gotta,
Interesting. Okay.
yeah. So get to know them and then take a class and get some headshots done, get on casting workbook, and just start auditioning. I think a lot of people also get a little bit scared to audition at first because, especially if they don't have any sort of training. But I think people should just rip the bandaid off and do it. Just have that one bad audition like I did, and then you're good.
Okay, I'll
Yeah.
take that into consideration. That's
Yeah.
incredible. Now, let's say for your birthday, you get a time machine.
Okay.
But here's the catch. You can only travel once and to meet the 13-year-old version of yourself. So what would you say to that little you?
Ooh. I would tell her that you are exactly where you need to be, and everything that's happening to you right now is meant to make you stronger and grow into a beautiful, beautiful person. And that to just keep on being unapologetically yourself and take up space and own it.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Now, let's say also that one day Netflix, HBO Max, Disney Plus, you name it, they call you and they tell you that they have this idea, which goes that all of the characters you have played at the moment, they're all gonna gather to celebrate your birthday. But the film needs a name, so how would you call it?
This is such a good question. Oh, if all the characters I played got together for my birthday, I think the film would be called Charcuterie Board. Because it's like a
Interesting.
charcuterie board of all the
Okay.
characters. And then you can pick
Cool.
and choose. I don't know. That was a stupid answer, but
No.
I
Yeah,
love
yeah.
charcuterie boards.
So it's more like, so we're talking about a kind of, so it's a dark comedy film, correct? A little bit of drama
Yeah.
on it, perhaps.
Maybe like a Russian roulette-esque vibe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I'll take
Okay.
it. Now, what about describing your whole career, but on a drink? How would you call this drink and what would it have?
On a drink?
Yeah, let's say that I want to, and this might sound bad, but let's say that I want to drink your career or taste your career. So how would you call it?
Ooh, it would definitely be some sort of $13 wine or champagne because I feel like it's still on the come up. I feel like it's still quite young and there's so much room to grow. So maybe like, wine that hasn't aged yet. And
Yeah.
I would call it hazelnut wine.
Okay, I like it. Sounds
Yeah.
fresh. Sounds
Yeah.
young. Okay, I'll take it. I love it. Now, my next question here is like, what motivates you? You know, we all have those days that basically we just want to quit, you know? And it's interesting because sometimes nothing is happening or you just wake up and start feeling like that, or something triggers it, right? And you start to get this idea that you should quit, that you're not good enough. So how you manage to silence those toxic thoughts and to continue being on this road that you have built for so many years now?
I think what motivates me is the fact that there was a lot of people and reasons and obstacles that did kind of get in the way of me pursuing this as a career. And I think knowing that those were there and the fact that I've overcome so many already, it feels like well, I'm too far in to give up because I already if I could get past this and could get past that, then I can keep going. And I think knowing that, I don't have a backup plan, I'm not getting a degree in engineering or anything like that, So I think knowing that there is no backup plan and that that I'm could potentially be the representation that I lacked on screen as a kid, because that was another thing, like another reason as to why, it was just a bit harder to get into this industry is that I don't see many Filipinos on screen, you know? So just thinking of the stories I could tell and the people I could touch or could touch me and I can connect with and make all these beautiful connections with people and all the happiness I can bring to people and that I can get from people that I meet. And, you know, going back to why I got so addicted to acting in the first place was I loved the people it brought me around. And so I don't ever want to not have those people around or to not meet such amazing people. So I think knowing that quitting would mean me possibly losing that opportunity to meet wonderful people motivates me because I don't want to lose that. And I don't want to have done all this work for nothing.
Absolutely. And like, especially what you said, the fact that you had invest so much time to it, you know, they have, I mean, besides money, of course, but some emotions, time, and everything. That, yeah, I can understand that, that to one day decided to throw it away. Yeah, I mean, it's does, I mean, at least to me, and the other day I was watching something in which they were saying that if you really love something, why you should quit? You know, perhaps what you need is it's a break, which is understandable because it might go into a moment in which you feel a little bit burnout, and that's understandable, you know. But yeah, all right. Now my last question here is, what can we expect from Hazel in the future?
What can we expect from Hazel in the future? I think you can expect, I have a movie coming out. I had a role in Elevator Game that's coming out in 2023. I'm not exactly sure what time, but at some point this year, Elevator Game will come out and you can see me in that. And I'm also working on a show that I created and wrote and produced called Marie and the Menos, and we're filming right now. And so hopefully you'll see that fall of 2023. And yeah, other than that, hopefully you'll just see me around and we can talk and make beautiful connections.
And that's incredible, and I'm super sure that's gonna happen, you know, because I mean the fact that you're doing it because it's your passion, it's incredible, but also the fact that you have fought to it, you know, that you have continuing pursuing it regardless of the challenges and situations that perhaps somebody else might quit. The fact that you keep doing it and keep pushing, I mean, that's impressive. And also all of the backstory that you just mentioned when we were starting it, that's incredible. I mean, I'm super sure that our next conversation is gonna be about the thousands upon thousands of projects that you have been involved with. Hear me on that.
Aw, thank you.
Absolutely. Now, I also want to thank those who watch this video. Thank you so much. If you're either watching this on YouTube or listening it on Spotify or Apple Podcast, make sure to go follow Hazel at a like right now. So this episode is about to be over. So in the description below, you're gonna see her link to her Instagram. Let's follow her. Let's make her viral. Hashtag Team Hazel. She's incredible. She's amazing. And Hazel, again, thank you so much for making this happen. Keep inspiring, because I'm super sure that there is people out there who sees you as a role model, or at least someone who is really pursuing a dream. And that's inspirational enough.
Aw, thank you. Thank you so much for talking to me. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. So I'll see you in the next one.
Yeah, I'll see you in the next
All right, have a good one.
one.